Okay, I call the meeting to order.
Great. Okay, so this is basically just a catch-up meeting, an update, general update. So we recently, you know, just to give a quick overview of what's going on, we recently came back from India. We have completed, for the most part, our U.S. Equality of Opportunity Report. There's, you know, as in the past, there's a couple of things we're still waiting on from different groups. So it's, you know, there's a couple of pages that say pending or whatever, but basically the U.S. Equality of Opportunity Report is done. Right now we're just really focused on giving season stuff. So just to run down, a couple of things, we held an event, a business lunch last Thursday, where we were trying to expand our network a little bit. I think basically Tom brought a bunch of people who are potential donors and potential contacts. We've gotten a few donations. We're still trying to, you know, to wait to see what people do by the end of the year. And one of them also has connected us with a publicist that we're meeting with soon who might have some more ideas for what we could be doing generally at this time of year. We had a couple other people who were, you know, going to bring guests, but I think in the end we didn't get very good turnout from them. The event was kind of built around Tom's network, and that was who we got turnout from. Today I presented at D. Shaw at a little lunch meeting, just presented our work. That's D. Shaw, the hedge fund. I think the time was tough, but I don't think they wanted to give us another time. So that was that. And so both of those took a little bit of preparation. A couple other things we've done. We put out a press release that was, you know, us joining with Philanthropedia and Root Cause to recommend two charities each, kind of to take a positive spin on last year's press release. We've done, you know, a series of blog posts trying to raise the profile of Village Reach. One of them in particular was kind of asking the various fundraising bloggers to blog about how they would sell its story, you know, with the idea being this is a very impactful program that is tough to tell in a story because of the logistics issue. And then we've also just been doing a fair amount of, like, just trying to make sure we have all our contacts in order and that we're having catch-up conversations with anyone who might give in size, that we're doing reminders for anyone who might give a moderate amount, that we're, you know, staying on our kind of former coworkers. And I think that's an area where we're going to want to do more in the future, because I think we've not sort of won over new people at that company as well as we could, and we're thinking about throwing an event specific to that in the future. So I think that's a lot of the stuff that we've been doing, and just like that, catching up on, you know, getting back from India, all the meetings we were supposed to have. We're planning to meet with Nick Kristoff in early January, so that's another, you know, another person that we hope we can get to promote what we're doing more generally. That's a lot of what we've been working on. Ellie, does that sound about right?
Yep, I think so.
Yeah. So that's pretty much, you know, that's pretty much where we are. We're kind of, you know, that's what we're focused on, and I think I can talk a little bit about what we're thinking for next year, but basically one of the things that I think soon we're going to be kind of done with all this stuff that we're doing now, and ready to move on to something else. And I think what we're going to move on to soon, and probably before the end of the year, is move on to doing our annual self-evaluation and plan. So that's where, you know, I think we're going to have a good, thorough conversation about how things are going and what we're planning next, and I think a lot more thought needs to go into it. So I don't know that it's worth getting into a huge thing now, but I can give, like, a general outline of some things we're thinking. But first, I just want to, you know, pause for questions on what we've been up to.
Well, I'd just like to raise in the email. I know this is a little bit of a looking forward thing, but also since it's sort of right in the middle of the giving season and all, I would like to bring up the issue of marketing and sort of getting the word out. And you just described a few activities that were related to that. And they sounded a little bit more sort of face-to-facey, you know, meeting with this group of people, that group of people, you know, one-to-one, or calling people on the phone. It seems like I'm seeing less sort of broadcast impact. And I mentioned in the email that far fewer blog posts this year, you know, during the giving season than last year. Haven't seen much coverage in sort of, you know, Wall Street Journal-y type stuff, although I haven't extensively read that, so I may have missed some stuff. But I'm just curious sort of why you've shifted a little bit from how things seemed to be handled in 2009 to 2010, if that was intentional or just sort of drift, and what your thoughts are about the different approaches.
I mean, overall, so I'll answer briefly. Well, I don't know, which is one of us is going to go first? You probably have two different perspectives on this a little bit.
Well, I'll just say really quickly, I mean, overall, the we're getting, I would say, slightly more media coverage this year than last year, and we could go through the each one individually, but basically, overall, we're getting slightly more media coverage. We didn't get the Wall Street Journal. We got, you know, a little New York Times, some USA Today, and some other more local, smaller things. Overall, traffic to the website, you know, both people typing in giveall.org and arriving and doing general Google searches where they land on the site is higher. And we've decided to put more focus on, in terms of marketing, the advertising, the AdWords we've done more than we did last year, and the advertisement you mentioned on Marginal Revolution. We haven't done as, we did make a conscious decision to not blog as much this year, because that's a pretty high time cost for Holden to be doing that. And I think while it gets some attention, there's no real indication that the extreme level of blogging that we did the last quarter of last year led to significantly more attention.
And we did talk about the fact that it was going to be decreasing, correct?
Yes. I mean, that
Didn't
was a very conscious choice
we
made.
Didn't we talk about your intention to decrease? Yes.
I mean, just in general, like last year, we made a conscious choice for Holden to blog a ton, hoping to get the attention of bloggers who would link to us. And that, you know, I think it got some attention, but it didn't really work the way that we really intended. And this year, we said, we made the conscious choice that it wasn't worth the time to blog that much all the time.
Okay. In terms of a PR strategy, how do you reach out to the media outlets that you've received coverage in, and others that maybe you haven't but might hope to receive coverage in?
So just as a general, like, observation, I mean, I think that we, like, our experience pretty consistently has been that the stuff that we do to get attention does not work. And we get attention anyway just by, like, being around, often by blogging, although the difference between five times a week and one time a week is not that clear. So they come to you rather than you going to them, basically. Yeah, and so, right, and that is something that could change. Like, but anyway, last year we emailed a lot of, like, newspaper people. Nothing happened. Nobody responded. This year we didn't. I think our level of press coverage is about the same as it was last year. It's different in composition, but, you know, it doesn't, I don't know, it just doesn't seem very...
Have you guys worked with...
I would say there's only two things that we really, like, did last year that we're not doing this year, which would be this kind of email blitz to the press and this blogging thing, and neither of those are things that I think are worthless or that I would never do. But they're just things that this year we had a lot going on, and I don't think that they were high enough ROI to push down some of the other stuff on our list, which was more targeted fundraising for Village Reach, and which we really wanted to do right. Now, a more general thing that I want to add is that we have never had a good strategy for giving season, in my opinion. And our kind of strategy has always been to say, we want to start thinking about this stuff in October so that we have time to do whatever we're going to do by December, and we kind of don't know what we're going to do until October because everything's always changing so fast, so that's how we're going to do it. And I think that's always just not worked because October is too late for a lot of the stuff that you want to do. Like this year we thought about throwing an event, a real event, not a business lunch for Village Reach. Well, that's the kind of thing you have to plan at least 6 months in advance. You know, some other stuff, I mean, press release, you want that thing coming out in, like, probably November, not in December. You want it on the press's radar before they start writing all these articles. And so I think next year, I think we basically, we want to have more of the outline of a plan in January, and I think it's, you know, I don't know about January, but very early in the year. And I think it's the kind of thing that we couldn't do before because we just didn't have enough ideas, and we never really knew what we had and what we wanted to do until late in the year. But I think next year, we're going to be able to have more of a calendar that says, look, anything we want to pitch to a monthly, we have to be working on it in April. If we want to send out a press release, we have to start working on it in September. If we want to throw an event, we got to start working on that in May. You know, and that's the kind of thing where we've got to nail that down.
Did you guys work in this year or last year with a PR person, or have you guys been basically sort of running on your own on this kind of stuff?
We've been on our own. I mean, last year we talked to the PR person.
Yeah,
and
we talked to two different The pitch they make is so weak. I mean, they both are like, we'll get you in. Like, basically, they show the highlights of their portfolio, and it's an article in the Wall Street Journal, which we've had, and we tell them that, and they're like, yeah, wow, that is pretty good. And so, you know, anyhow, we just haven't had much luck with the PR. Hopefully, this guy we're talking to tomorrow will be helpful.
Sorry, just to interject, this has been sort of an ongoing debate, and I know if Tom were on the phone, he'd probably say something about it, but it's been an ongoing discussion that we've been having now for over a year regarding whether it's worth us putting the time and effort and money into PR versus just doing good work. So I think the conscious decision to this stage has actually been not to put the money towards PR. And the question, I guess, is it worth doing more to that end? So it's the continued question of something we've been discussing for a long time.
Yeah, no, I understand. I understand. I'm just, this is the time of year for that kind of thing. It's just so, it's something I'm thinking about, and, you know, it's something worth thinking about. I know it'll probably be, you know, another topic of discussion in sort of planning, you know, whenever that comes next month or following months. But
well, I think it's something we do have to revisit on a regular basis in terms of, are we ready yet to make a big push to pay someone to do that? You know, the PR person you guys spoke to, I think, was the one who was Tom's friend. Is that right?
Well, we're going to speak to someone tomorrow who's a friend of Tom's friend.
Okay.
In the past, we've spoken to bigger agencies. In the past, we've spoken to like agencies that we thought about retaining for pay. One of which Tim referred to us. I just can't remember the name right now. And another one was referred by Stephanie Strong, the New York Times reporter.
Right.
Does Charity Navigator or other, you know, entities sort of in your general space, what do they do in terms of PR?
We don't know. Whatever they're doing, I don't think it's generating a heck of a lot. I mean, Charity Navigator is the only one that, you know, seems to pop up a lot more than us, and I think that has more to do with their product and their history than anything else.
Yeah, I would say it's something, you know, probably... Okay, I'm getting feedback here. When you guys have the metrics report done for this year, and we've all had a chance to look at that, it'll be interesting to see what we can pull out of that and probably open up a broader discussion of what the right strategy and sort of the right amount of effort to put into relative thrusts is. And I agree with you. The right approach, I'm asking these questions not because I'm firmly convinced that the right answer is to hire a PR person or to write a bazillion blog posts or do this or that. I'm just sort of, you know, I think your approach is right. You know, what's the ROI of this versus that, and trying to sort of maximize the ROI. And I don't know what the answers are. I just want the thought. I just want things to be thought through.
Yeah. I think you're right.
Yeah, well, I agree, and I think next year we do. Like, I think we know enough now about what our options are in giving season that we. Next year, I think we can be planning earlier and discussing it earlier, and maybe even discussing it as we do our annual report and plan, which is right at the beginning of the year. It's also important to emphasize, Ellie may have mentioned this, but, you know, our numbers are up. I mean, you know, right now things are looking good, especially the money number, like the money coming through the website is just way higher than last year, and we're not sure exactly why, but it seems to be largely for organic reasons, just being around longer. Our search engine traffic is way up. That's the main source of traffic that's way up. You know, people may be more comfortable with us. We're getting as good press as we did last year. We were in USA Today. We were in Christoph's column. So, you know,
did Christoph's column Did Christoph's column generate a lot directly? I mean, I know you gave us an update after the fact, but...
Yeah.
Was there a lot?
Yeah, I mean, it was better than any of the single press things we got last year, right, Ellie?
Yeah, it was way better. And, I mean, we see donations. People are giving money that were initially referred from that article. So it's been one of the, I mean, it's probably the single best press we got since the New York Times article 3 years ago.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And you know, hopefully we'll develop some kind of relationship with him so it's not the last time. So, I mean, things are happening. Things are, you know, I think largely there is growth and things are going well. It's just, you know, we seem kind of impotent when we talk about the things we could do. It seems like none of them will work. But in some ways, doing nothing seems to work pretty well. You know, I'm not saying that's the answer. I'm not saying that's what we're going to do forever. Again, we like doing anything we think has high ROI. It's just good to keep that picture in mind.
Okay, no, that I've heard enough for now. I mean, that's fine. You guys can move on to another topic if you want.
Okay. Well, I can give a real brief sketch of what I'm thinking about for next year, if people want, or if you guys have other questions, we can take those instead.
No, I'd like to hear about next year.
Okay. I guess there's kind of four major categories I'm thinking about right now, which is more categories than we've discussed in the past. Kind of the newest category that I'm thinking about is, like, I still want to improve our research, even on the causes we've already done. And what I specifically mean by that right now is that I don't think we have enough charities that we feel good enough about. So we have Village Reach, which we feel really good about, and I feel really good about getting money to them. And so we've by far plugged them more than anyone else, and most of the money we're moving is going to them, and I'm happy with that situation. Long term, we need to find more charities at the level of Village Reach that we feel that good about and that we can promote that hard, and I don't think any of other charities are in that category when you factor in not only what they do, but what their funding needs are and how concrete they've been about them. So there's a whole discussion about why we've only found one Village Reach, how we could find more, whether we could find more, why we, you know, don't feel great about a lot of the other organizations we recommend, a lot of which fall more into the large bureaucracy category and less into the small innovator category like Village Reach does. So I don't want to get into the details of that now. It's something I want to think about more. But basically, I think that, you know, even in our causes that we've covered, in some ways we've covered them. You know, we know all the research and we have a methodology that makes sense and all that stuff. But if we don't have great charities to recommend, that's a huge problem for us. And that's something that I want to address any way we can. And I do have some ideas for how to do it, even in, like, areas like global health or international aid generally. So that's one thing that I'm thinking about is just, like, find more great charities. And that's a separate category, really, from any category we've talked about before, although it would be a subcategory of research. Category two is the familiar cover more causes. Largely, at this point, for me, that's a means to an end of finding more great charities. So I think that's another discussion why, like, I'm getting less interested in covering causes to say we covered them or to serve people who like those causes, and more interested in just covering the causes that we honestly think are going to lead to great charity recommendations. Disease research is at the top of that list. I think, you know, catastrophic risks may belong on that list. Global warming may, but that would be so much work that we really have to think carefully about that one. You know, I think we may look at animal welfare, which is kind of not something that personally excites me or Ellie, but I, you know, from a certain perspective, I think it's possible to find great charities in there. But that's covering more causes. Then a third category would just be, like, the robustness issue, which would be, you know, a combination of, like, getting more external validation of our research, more quotes, more reviews, et cetera, and, you know, hiring more people, having those people take on more responsibility, having a research process that's less dependent on the specific people, me and Ellie. So that's, like, the, you know, the robustness. Like, we, you know, we've done this research, but we need it to be able to stay up to date and to be credible without us just kind of redoing it all the time. And then that's category three. And then category four is marketing and outreach. And I think one of the things that I'm thinking about marketing is that, you know, well, a couple things. I mean, well, the main thing I'm thinking about marketing is that I'm kind of interested in this idea of doing events, which is a very traditional thing for a charity to do. Everyone does it. There's all kinds of different events. There's, like, the lunch we did, which is all about raising money. Then there's, like, the big party, which is targeted at high-net-worth people, and it's kind of almost a way of, like, leveraging your best supporters' networks to, you know, to get money, but also engagement and awareness out of them. And then there's, like, a third kind of event, which is more of a young professionals kind of event, which is really more about raising awareness than anything else. And I think we should be thinking hard about doing these kind of things, and maybe doing other things, like more low-key intellectual things, debates, discussions, because I think we could be doing a better job building a community of sorts around GiveWell, and I don't think that community has to be online. I think so much of giving comes down to personal relationships that I think we would be foolish to not at least explore the idea that, you know, with our reputation and with some of the connections we have, we could form a decent network of personal relationships that could lead to big things over time. I think that's something we should be thinking about and not necessarily trying to do every single thing we do over the internet. So, I don't know. Those are some things I'm thinking about. Ellie, I want to, before anyone responds or asks questions, I'd like Ellie to have a chance to add to that or modify, because this is not something that we've really talked about in depth. And I'm largely just throwing out my, you know, off-the-cuff thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only thing that you left out that I think are worth bringing up is that I don't know if we've talked about in the past with the board. So, you know, so what that looks like sort of, what it looks like very practically from you know, who the people we have and what they'll be doing next year is, you know, we have Simon, who was working for us from Sweden, and we're hoping to get him his H-1B visa. That's still in flux. And then he would come work from, you know, from New York next year, and he would be working on some research project, perhaps, you know, the cause of animal welfare, perhaps being slotted in somewhere else in research we were doing. Natalie would continue to focus on the international stuff, and it has taken and probably will continue to take her a lot of time to maintain our reviews of our recommended charities, because as we look more closely at organizations, the questions we have and the amount of back and forth goes up, and so that takes a lot of time. And then the, you know, there's this person, I don't know if we've talked about Alexander Berger, who we made a job, he's a senior at Stanford, he's graduating in May, we think he's really great, and we made a job offer to him, and he's planning to start in the summer working for us as a researcher, and we think he has very high potential to help us, you know, do research and over time, you know, in other ways. And so we hope that, you know, he's another person who's going to be in the mix, you know, doing work next year.
Nobody else is talking. I'll give a quick reaction, I guess. Nobody else is going to respond. Okay, going through Holden's list, sort of revisiting things and looking for more charities sounds reasonable. And part of that is just because, you know, with the benefit of time, you guys might, you know, and experience, you guys might have a slightly different view on things or know a few more rocks to uncover to look for things. I do think that in the end, you guys can't just be the Village Reach charity. I think that's a bad... I don't want, you know, GiveWell to just basically become a Village Reach cheerleader. So that's something to be careful of. I'm still big on more causes. I know Holden was, or I believe expressed a little less enthusiasm for that just now, but I still like the idea. Has disaster relief fallen off the radar, or is that report still coming?
That's still coming. I expect that to be ready, you know, fairly early next year.
Okay, that's one I think is definitely worth hitting. I think disease research is a good one. Even if the results aren't, you know, in some of these things I'm almost like, you know, even if you don't get slam dunk, here's the charity to support, just to cover the ground and say, you know, this may be an important issue. You know, even if the results are negative, basically, this may be an important issue, but we haven't found any charities we recommend. Of course, if you do find charities you can recommend, you know, all the better. But I just, I think that, you know, those two are important. Some of the other ones that you mentioned, I think there's some promise there, too. Robustness, which was sort of broken down into two categories. One is internal robustness of GiveWell, which, yeah, sounds, you know, definitely something to make a priority. The other part of that, and part of that you mentioned with various hires you're contemplating or making or whatever, and then the other part of that is external reviews, which I like that, too. So basically I'm saying I like everything far, so I don't want to say no to anything, but actually I will get a slightly more negative on some of the marketing stuff. Having just sort of earlier in the conversation advocated for a little bit more marketing and PR, I'm a little skeptical of going too far down the route of person-to-person parties and events and things like that, and moving away from the internet. I just I don't know. It seems very labor-intensive, and it seems to be getting away from the model of efficiency, which was sort of what was driving GiveWell all along. You know, I'm not saying I couldn't see any of that being valuable. I think there is a room for that. I don't want GiveWell to be just another, you know, another party on the charity circuit or whatever. You know, along with I can see some downsides there. So that's a quick reaction there. So those are my quick sort of quick reactions to the various things that were thrown out there.
Well, I think we're mostly in agreement. I mean, I don't think we're going to be, you know, throwing tons of parties. I think what we want to do is give ourselves a chance to, you know, build a little more community, have GiveWell supporters meet each other and feel good about GiveWell in a way that you can't just online. And, you know, I basically feel like there's a certain level of networking and partying that has as high an ROI as improving our website. So, you know, the website is like
the website
very
is a lot better now
theory.
Than it was.
But when you look at the dollars, what'd you say?
I was gonna say the website's a lot far better now than it was 12 to 18 months ago. So, you know,
right.
The a lot of the easy fruit has been picked on terms of, you know,
right.
Website presentation,
right,
things
exactly.
Like that.
And when I just look at, I mean, I just think, like, it, you know, the website is efficient if there were, like, tons and tons of these donors. It's efficient in theory, but I think in practice, when you look at how much money there is to be raised from the two sources, website and offline, I mean, I think it's, you know, arguably they're pretty close, and that, you know, doing a little more offline could get better returns. So, anyway, so I think we're mostly in agreement on that. We're not planning to throw, like, 20 parties next year, but maybe three, four. You know, targeted at different groups. And then on the causes, I mean, I think that's going to be a major discussion, and that's something we have to think about more. I don't want to get too much into it now.
That's fine.
You know, I think that I kind of want to avoid, at least in the short term, covering a cause just so we can, like, I kind of want to avoid more of what I think we did with U.S. Equality of Opportunity, which is largely, like, accommodate people who like that cause, even though we really think it's just, like, very unpromising, and the person who's the best fit with us is just not going to like it. I just want to avoid more of that. You know, global warming, I think there's a chance that it looks like that because I just have this sense that the charities, not that it isn't an important issue, but that the, you know, that the work being done by charities just doesn't have a lot of potential to make a big difference. That's something that I would not conclude until I looked into it a little more, but I may only look into it a little more and then decide we don't want to cover it, that kind of thing. And I know you're not going to object on that one because I know you aren't crazy about us covering that cause, but it's the principle, you know.
Yeah. I do think the one carve-out I would make to what you just said there is even if you're a little negative on disaster relief in general, I view it as when those disaster events. Well, you said the report's already underway and almost done, so that's kind of a moot point.
Yeah, I think that one. I agree with you on that one. I mean, that one's just so extreme in terms of the interest it commands, and also, like, I don't know if I would do it if we were from scratch now, but we definitely, you know, we've reached a point where if we just keep plugging, I think it'll be done in a couple months, and we're not doing the work. It's like a part-time employee is doing almost all the work, so. I'm not sure. Like, if we decided we needed to rethink the whole thing and started pouring more Holden Ellie time into it, then I think we'd have a debate. But given where it is right now, I think it's fine.
Sorry, I didn't hear. Is there a sense that Natalie's going to be staying for the medium term?
Yeah, I think so. Another thing you guys should be aware of, and this is something I unfortunately haven't prepared a formal update on for this meeting, but, you know, I will fairly soon, is our financial situation is definitely deteriorated. It's not bad. But, you know, a year ago, I think we were easily getting, you know, as much revenue as we had expenses, and now I think we've had a couple sources of revenue deteriorate. So the Hewlett Foundation is making smaller grant to us now, I think partly because they got hit in the financial crisis, partly because they're probably, you know, just kind of changing the way that they fund this sector. I don't think we fully see eye to eye with them. I think that we're more in the camp of find a few great charities and a few great donors and connect them and make a difference, and they're more in the camp of, like, this better be on a path to transforming the whole charity sector. So Hewlett is, you know, already they're looking to give us $60,000 instead of $100,000 this time around, and it may be zero next year. Then we've got, you know, we've had a major donor switch careers. We've had a couple other people fall off the radar. So we've had a little bit of a decrease in expected revenue. Meanwhile, we want to hire people, so we have an increase in expected expenses. Now, we have about $250,000 in the bank, so it's not and $250,000 is a little less than it costs us to run for a year. But, you know, once we have Hewlett and some other donations come in, you know, we easily have time to deal with this issue. We need to find a couple more sources of revenue, and we do have time to do it. But that's going to be something that, you know, is going to have to be on the to-do list next year. And I think, by the way, I think that ramping up our what we do with our former coworker is the most promising way I know to, you know, to fix that situation, because there's a lot of people there who are able to give, and, you know, and they're a really good fit with us, and we have a history there and connections there, and we have not done a great job, you know, staying on everyone's radar there, and we can do a better job. That's one of my more, you know, that's one of the most promising sources of more revenue. To me, there are another couple sources, so, you know, I think our situation is not bad. It's just something to be aware of that, you know, the solid revenue has fallen, the solid expenses have risen, we're in a state of more uncertainty and a state where we need to take action. We do have time to deal with it.
Hey, Holden, this is Ari. I don't know if the others heard you. I missed a lot of what you said, but the extent you quantified any of that, can I ask you to repeat it? Like, what was Hewlett giving before? What's the new rate? And just overall, what's the run rate of revenue versus what it was, say, 6 months ago?
Hewlett gave $100,000 last year, $60,000 this year. That's not final. That's what we're expecting. And maybe zero next year. There's a donor who gave $30,000 last year who's changing careers, isn't going to do that again. And there's, you know, in terms of expenses, you know, we have, I think with the personnel we have now, I think our expenses are at about $300,000 a year, and we want to hire two more people, which would bring us, you know, to like $380,000 a year. Now there's the possibility of Ellie leaving, and there's the possibility of other people leaving, so that could fall. And then we've got about $250,000 in the bank, and, you know, expecting at least like $150,000 more revenue this month. So we're going to have a year of reserves easily under any assumption, a year with which to deal with this at least.
Got it. And you were saying you thought there was some hope for to replace some of those revenues. So it sounds like 40, 30, sounds like there's 70,000 less going forward. You have line of sight to replacing some of that?
There are possible sources of replacing it, but nothing definite.
I would say
so it's something
little
that we need to work on.
Yeah, I would say this is something that's a little more concerning than maybe what the tone that you guys just took on. I think you don't want to get in a situation where you're, you know, down to 6 months of reserves or whatever, because it just I would be careful about expanding while, I think 1 year reserves is a nice comfortable level, you know, or even a little bit more than 1 year. And I'd be careful about expanding expenses in the face of declining revenues. That's, I don't know, again, something to look more at your budgets and all that stuff that's likely to come in the next month or two, but it's a little disconcerting, I would say.
Well, I think we're doing the right thing. I mean, there's people who have huge potential to be the next generation of GiveWell, and, you know, Ellie may not be sticking around, and so that would both reduce our expenses and create the need to have people around. So we're not afraid to let people go if they're not justifying, you know, their salary. I think the way we're behaving, you know, we're not in a dire circumstance. We do have other potential sources of revenue. I think there's enough chances that this will sort itself out in time, and we've got good people to hire. We don't want to let them go. So I think we're behaving appropriately. We just need to be ready to change course if necessary. And this needs to be on our priority list. Like, this needs to be something we're working on. We need to be investigating these sources. We need to be nailing it down, you know, and it needs to be one of the things we're working on. Normally, fundraising is not one of the things we're working on.
And hold it up. Are the replacement sources individual donors, or are these grants where it could be a year-long application process with rounds of essays or interviews or whatever happens to get a grant?
One revenue source is a potential grant that I think we would actually get, or at least get approved in like March, so it's, you know, fairly short term, because it's someone that we've gotten money from before. It's not the kind of thing that's going to take years. The other people I'm thinking of are individual donors, and then the biggest, like I said, I mean, I think the best solution I know of to this issue is just raising the level of awareness with our former coworkers and that whole company that has a lot of new people now. That, you know, we could get more donations from individual donors fairly quickly if we just spread the word better than we have.
Yeah, I'm not overly concerned given that picture painted. You know, I would say that it's something that should now be going on regular communications from here on out, just so we get more visibility, but I agree that the current financial situation and the prospects for replacing some of those things are sufficient for now.
Yeah, I mean, one more thing. I mean, I also think everyone who works for GiveWell knows what they're getting into, and we're pretty clear with them, and we communicate about our situation. So, you know, I don't think this is the kind of thing where it's going to be like, well, we load up on employees, and all of a sudden we go belly up. I mean, if we have to let people go, we will.
I understand, but the flip side of that is if things start to get a little sketchy financially, part of the reason to make sure that you do have a reasonable amount of reserves, you know, in relative to your burn rate is if things start to get a little sketchy, if you get down to 6 months or even 3 months of reserves, even if you can, you know, stumble on through and come up with the money as you need it, that tends to have an effect of scaring people away, and, you know, how are the employees going to react to that and so on. So I think there's some that's basically where I'm going there.
Yeah, well, I don't think we're planning to get to the point where we're like stumbling through on 3 months of reserves. We're planning to see which of these other sources of funding we can nail down, and you know, and within 6 months, like, pretty much know where we stand.
Okay.
And 6 months is when I would be expecting to make the other two hires. So.
Right now, when you meet with a potential donor, or is the first dollar you're raising for Village Reach, or are you also raising for the GiveWell budget, or is the raising for the budget like very specific to a few individuals you're thinking about?
It's specific to a few individuals. It's case by case, but we don't solicit money from people that we aren't pretty comfortable with, and I think that's the right move. Like, I don't think we want to start hurting our credibility by asking for money from the wrong people and by competing with our top charities. It's only once somebody's very engaged with the project and, you know, we feel knows us to some extent and is going to react positively to that ask that we ask. So to me, that's a rule. That's not something, like, it's not a reasonable option to break that rule. We're not going to email everyone who gave a grand to Village Reach in the last year and ask them to give to us. That's not an option for me. So when I say there's potential source of revenue, I'm talking about people that we're comfortable asking.
By the way, how much are you getting just sort of via donate? I assume it's a small amount, but I'm just curious. You do have, under the About on your website, you've got a Donate to Us option. How much, out of curiosity, are you raising from sort of the public at large, if anything?
We probably have that number in our last evaluation. We can put it in our next. I don't know offhand, but probably a few grand.
From
people that we don't even really know who they are, I would say.
Yeah.
There's a few larger donors who, you know, they're not former coworkers, they're not anything, but they, you know, they give reasonable sized donations to us, and that's a different category in them.
I do agree with the general sentiment, you know, that as you increase visibility, that's going to help on that front. But you know, it's probably not enough. It's just you know, not so much in the front.
But that's not. I'm not talking about that at all. When I say I'm thinking about other potential sources of revenue, I'm not talking about that number of like random people giving to our website going up. I'm planning on that. I always assume that number is going to be zero in a given year.
What I'm saying is that. Even finding the people who will give, you know, moderately significant amounts who are individuals, not charities, is going to correlate to the number of people who use your website in general. So if you double your web traffic, you're going to have, you know, roughly some correlation with the number of people who are willing to support you.
Right. But again, I'm not doing that kind of extrapolation. When I talk about potential source of revenue, I'm thinking about specific people.
Okay.
I think it's worth at least... raising, I don't think it's worth talking about right now, but I think it's worth noting that there are other organizations who are serving a connecting role, and they have all settled on a 15% of donation ask from everybody that they connect.
Yeah, I think that would be something that's worth a lot of effort to avoid, so I don't think we're anywhere near that point right now.
I would agree. If you can avoid that. I would agree with that sentiment. But it's something to keep deep in your back pocket as a possibility long term, put that way.
Okay, I need to run off. This is Tim.
Okay.
Any other?
Well, it's my sense that we're pretty close to done. I mean, is there any other issues, any other questions people have?
I'm good.
Okay. Maybe, Lindy, maybe you should adjourn the meeting, and then Tim won't miss anything.
I adjourn the meeting.